Britain throws in with an influential Chinese-led bank annoying the U.S.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Angie's List, providing access to consumer reviews on plumbing, landscaping, HVAC, house cleaning, and more. Now offering an updated iPhone app. More at angieslist.com. And by Citrix GoToMeeting, connecting people and businesses in face-to-face online meetings from any device. More at GoToMeeting.com.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. China's been leading the charge to set up a global lender that could someday rival the World Bank. Now Britain has become the first Group of Seven country to join in. This has prompted an unnamed senior U.S. official to attack the U.K.'s, quote, constant accommodation of China. That quote was obtained by the Financial Times. The paper's political editor, George Parker, joins us from London. Mr. Parker, good morning.
Morning.
What seems to have rankled what you describe as a senior U.S. administration official?
Well, I think the anger really is that the British have gone ahead with this Chinese-led Asian investment bank on their own, basically. This was being discussed for some time at the G7 level with the United States, with other Western economies, and the UK has decided to go it alone. And I think there's a suspicion in Washington. This is an example of the UK, in a way, sucking up to Beijing, or in the words of the White House official, constant accommodation with the Chinese.
Now, this Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank that the Chinese government is pushing is actually quite significant. It's seen as an agent of Chinese influence around the world.
It is. I don't really think that's how it's seen in the UK. I think the UK sees this as one of a network of regional investment banks set up to promote infrastructure investment. And it's something the UK wants its own financial services sector to be involved in. And their argument, the argument in London, is that if you get in at the start of a bank like this, you can help to shape the way it's set up. So make it, so, for example, ethical, run on sound principles, transparent. But of course, as I was saying earlier, the view in the US is this is just another example of the UK trying to butter up the Chinese.
It seems, George, that the U.S. and the U.K. have been on each other's nerves slightly this week. You also saw that story that the U.S. was complaining aloud that our British friends are not spending enough on defense within the context of NATO.
Yeah, there's a lot of irritation in Washington about that. David Cameron, the British Prime Minister, at a NATO summit last year in the U.K., was lecturing other NATO members about maintaining this 2% of GDP spending target for the military. And now it looks like the U.K. won't do that. So that's caused a lot of irritation in the U.S. And I think there's a view in London that the US-UK relationship is long-standing, it's multi-layered, it's mature, and it can withstand these kinds of squalls. But actually, the real action, the real growth action in the world economy at the moment is with China. And I think that's why a cold calculation was made with this Asian investment bank, that even if it causes some irritation in Washington, the future is increasingly looking Chinese, and that's where Britain's got to look.
George Parker is the political editor at the Financial Times. He's speaking from London. Mr. Parker, thank you.
You're welcome.
There's a tentative deal to settle the nationwide strike at U.S. oil refineries and chemical plants. People familiar with negotiations say it is a four-year proposed deal covering 30,000 workers. If ratified by members of the United Steelworkers Union, this would end the first nationwide refinery strike in 35 years. A new contract is expected to have language to limit worker fatigue and provide raises of between 2.5% and 3.5% a year. Now let's check some other numbers. The FT 100 stock index in London is down 0.1%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are mixed. The euro is down to under $1.06. Oil is down 0.9%, using the Texas price for crude.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Kronos, offering cloud-based workforce management solutions designed to help organizations of all types and sizes maximize one of their biggest investments, their workforce. Kronos.com. Kronos, workforce innovation that works. And by Epson, workforce all-in-one printers for business powered by Precision Core technology, providing full lines of workforce printers for home offices, small offices, and networked work groups. Epson.com. And by Constant Contact, a proud Marketplace sponsor for 7 years, committed to helping small businesses meet their goals with email and online marketing. Learn more at ConstantContact.com.
In addition to the Justice Department's reports on Ferguson, Missouri, there was also a report in the last week from a presidential task force on the subject of 21st century policing. Getting law enforcement wrong, as we know, has fatal consequences for civilians and police. Getting policing wrong is also expensive. One watchdog group found that Chicago paid out more than $500 million over a 10-year period. Marketplace's Dan Weissman has more.
scandalously bad policing is John Lovie's bread and butter. He runs a for-profit law firm in Chicago with 25 attorneys built on big wins in police misconduct cases.
We like to say it's a non-depletable good in justice. You know, there's a million cases out there where people had their rights violated or wrongfully convicted or falsely arrested.
What's tough is winning those cases, which can take years and lots of upfront investment.
This is not for the faint of heart because you don't get paid unless you win.
So having lawyers who are willing and able to take those cases on and win them, that's one variable. Another is how a city responds to lawsuits. For years, the city of Chicago had a not quite official no settlements policy. And that might scare away some potential plaintiffs. But defending cases that are clear losers, that's expensive. Juries hand out more than lawyers would settle for. And
then the attorney gets reasonable fees on top of that. And many times that's much more than the actual jury verdict.
That's Lou Ryder. He's a law enforcement consultant and former deputy chief of the Los Angeles Police Department. He consulted with plaintiff's attorneys in an infamous Chicago case. An off-duty cop beat up a barmaid in front of a security camera. The video went viral. The city refused to settle. The jury awarded the woman $850,000, and the court gave her attorneys more than twice that amount. Ryder thinks the city could have saved itself a lot of money.
Initially, they probably could have settled that for maybe $200,000-$300,000.
The city of Chicago didn't comment for this story, but plaintiffs' lawyers say Chicago's policy has shifted since Rahm Emanuel became mayor in 2011. Andrew Schrader is a reporter for a local watchdog group called the Better Government Association. He tallied up that $500 million tab. Here's how he describes the city's new strategy.
They identify a case where they were clearly in the wrong. They are trying to settle that early on before, you know, it results in an expensive judgment.
Chicago's not alone in facing these expenses. The Rampart police scandal cost Los Angeles an estimated $125 million. In Chicago, I'm Dan Weissman for Marketplace.
And Bloomberg News is reporting a federal investigation into activist investor William Ackman. The questions surround possible manipulation of Herbalife stock. Ackman is head of Pershing Square Capital Management and is a longtime critic of the dietary supplements maker. Our senior producer is Nicole Childers. Our online digital producer is Tobin Lowe. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.